Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
Every day I get in the queue. To get on the bus that takes me to you. I'm so nervous I just sit and smile.
Good morning. It's 8:18. You are listening to Michigan Talk Network's Katie Hyde filling in this week on the Steve Gruber Show. This hour is brought to you by Mesa, good health, good business, and great schools. The nation has now effectively achieved the long-sought goal of energy independence, not because of any federal program or policies, but because of the efforts of thousands of entrepreneurs deploying new technologies in America's shale fields. With overall dependence on oil imports has decreased from a peak of 60% of consumption back in 2005 to 40% today, that fact doesn't fully convey the new reality. If imports from Canada and Mexico, our North American partners, are taken out of this formula of dependence, then the U.S. reliance on overseas sources of oil is now below 20% of demand. And here to break this down for us is Mark Mills. He joins us on the line. He's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, is the CEO of the Digital Power Group, and he's a faculty fellow at Northwestern's McCormick School of Engineering and Applied Science. Mark, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, Mark. And I have to tell you, I went to the Medill School there at Northwestern, too. So go Wildcats.
Excellent. Good for you. Great school.
Thank you. Tell me about some of these new technologies that were mentioned in the article.
Well, the key is that everyone calls it the short form. Engineers are very bad at creating short form words. You know, calling it fracking sounds very frightening. But in fact, what's going on is a kind of manufacturing technique has been developed over the last decade to, in fact, create oil out of shale rock. I mean, it's quite remarkable. It's not just, you know, poke a hole in the ground, oil gushes up. It's a technique that involves information technology and imaging, robotic kind of steerable drilling and control systems, and, of course, using high-pressure water to sort of stimulate the so-called fracture, stimulate rock, shale, to release oil and gas. What's interesting is these shale fields have been known for 100 years by geologists. They're not discovered. What we discovered in the last decade is the technology to release oil and gas from it, and it's called source rock. I mean, this form of oil and gas, for all practical purposes, is practically infinite in supply. I mean, it's a stunning amount of energy available to the United States.
And how is this going to impact us in the years to come?
Well, basically, it means we're entered an era of what I would call serial gluts instead of serial shortages, or from economic terms, it means that the price of oil is effectively, you know, absent, you know, wars and those kinds of things, but it's effectively what economists call range-bound. It's going to stay pretty cheap for a long time, which is, you know, wonderful news for consumers, and it's, I think, excellent news for America because we can produce it at low prices. We're the ones that caused the price to go down in the first place in America.
And why do you think the phrase fracking gets so much bad press, or why are people so afraid of that?
You know, this is a line, or, you know, I could say I'm not a psychologist, so I don't.
But, sure, just your opinion.
It's odd. It's an odd thing because there's been a disinformation campaign put in play by, I guess the only way you could put it is by people who just don't like oil and gas, or who used to think we were running out of it, so I felt pretty happy about that. Because they wanted things other than oil and gas, and now that there's a glut of oil and gas because of fracking, there's a lot of opposition. Look, it's like any industrial process. It's a big industry which employs millions of people, and it involves thousands of companies in the United States. This is not big oil. This is about small, mid-sized businesses, thousands of them. The big oil industry has only produced 25% of America's oil and gas. Small and mid-sized businesses produce 75%. So this attack on fracking is kind of an attack on American small business. And, you know, the idea that's put out is that somehow it's endangering water supplies because it uses a lot of water to fracture the rock. The truth is every state EPA that studied this, and many, many, many have, has found no evidence of any kind of sustained contamination of water and drinking water. It simply just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen for a lot of reasons, but it doesn't happen. So, you know, it's a kind of disinformation that goes on when people have other agendas. And their agenda is not so much that they don't like fracking per se, it's that they don't like oil and gas being cheap and abundant.
Well, it's refreshing to hear you talk this way because I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. One of the things that I like about your piece is it's not the federal government and bureaucracy solving this problem. It's entrepreneurs. It's small businesses. And so why hasn't the government been on board with something like this?
Well, there's two reasons. There is a cabal in Washington, where I live, that like the idea of oil and gas being limited. I mean, I don't like it. They believe it, let's say, and it fits with their worldview of running out of stuff. And there's they're running out of stuff. The end of the world way of thinking is not only still common in a lot of circles. It's been common for a long time. These are sort of apocalyptic way of thinking. Then there's another group who actually, I think this is the majority, who don't believe that this is a permanent revolution, a permanent change. You sort of think it's a discovery that's a bubble and it's going to go away. And they're worried about that. So I give them credit for the sense of worry because getting on board something that's just evanescent makes you nervous. I think the most important reason that we haven't had the government get on board, other than this sort of environmental opposition to and a hope for end of oil, is just that it's not fully absorbed into the system of thinking that we've gone from an era of 40 years now of worrying about being dependent on foreign oil, worrying about running out of oil, to now have to completely shift our thinking 180 degrees, where we live in an era where we have essentially unlimited supplies, we're never going to run out of it, and we could become an exporter. This is so different from what people have been told and thought about how legislation has been passed for 40 years. It just takes a little time. This legislation that's now moving through to end the ban on exports is a good example of it finally having the policymakers understand it's time.
Right, and there's such a shift in the thinking, like you said, that it's going to take some time for us to get there. Mark Mills, thank you so much for joining us and on the show and explaining this issue to us.
My pleasure. Have a great morning.
Yes, you too, and have a great Christmas.
Take care. Bye-bye.
It's 8:25. You're listening to Katie Hyde filling in on the Steve Gruber Show.